Well, you know, I came to McLean Bible Church in August 1980 at the tender age of 32 years old. By 5 days, I just turned 32 years old. And the congregation confirmed me as their senior pastor by 3 votes. In other words, if 2 people had voted the other way, I would never have been here as the pastor of McLean Bible Church. And you know, for many years, the elders would never tell me how close the vote was because they were afraid it would discourage me. Well, actually, the opposite is true. Knowing how close it was would have encouraged me because, you see, I knew I was coming to McLean Bible Church a long time before anybody at McLean Bible Church knew it. A year before this, in 1979, in the summer, at the time I was teaching seminary, which I'd been doing for 4 years, I was working on my doctorate at Johns Hopkins University in Old Testament, and I was on vacation painting the exterior of my house, and I was up on this ladder in the back of my house over in Crofton, Maryland, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me almost audibly and said, "You are leaving the seminary and you are going to be the senior pastor of McLean Bible Church." And I said, "Really?" And I got off the ladder and I ran in the house and Brenda was fixing lunch. I'll never forget it. And I said, "Brenda, you'll never believe it. God has just told me that I'm going to be the senior pastor of McLean Bible Church." And she said to me, "And what do you think they're going to do with the senior pastor they've already got?" I said, "Well, I don't know. But I'm not going to lift a finger to make this happen. But I'm telling you, I'm so sure of this that you can start going up to Giant Food and getting boxes right now. We are going to McLean Bible Church." And my point, friends, is that knowing I made it by 3 votes only confirmed in my heart that this was a God thing through and through. And so, with a badly divided church family and a total ignorance on my part about how to run a church and a church family of about 200 to 300 people, I showed up. But I showed up determined that by the grace of God, we were going to build a church here that honored Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and my, oh my, how the Lord has blessed this church. Gosh, back in 1980, we started in a little yellow brick building, we'll show you a picture, on Balls Hill Road. And then we grew by God's grace, and we had to move in 1986 to Langley High School, where we stayed for 6 years, carting the church in every Sunday, carting the church out every Sunday, while we built an addition to the little yellow brick building. In 1992, we moved back into that new building, show you a picture of it, and in 1995, we began Frontline, which God blessed and grew to 3,000 adults every Sunday night. We started in 1996 Access Ministry, where we now minister to hundreds of families of children with disabilities every single month. In 1997, we went on secular radio with not a sermon, just a thought. That's right. And in 1998, God had grown us so much that even in our new expanded building, we were like the old woman who lived in the shoe. Seriously, we had a Saturday night service. We had 4 Sunday morning services, served pizza at the last one. We had 2 Sunday evening services, Frontline, and traffic on Sunday morning would line up for more than a half a mile on the shoulder of the Beltway at Georgetown Pike trying to get onto our property and park and come to church. In fact, this is a true story, I promise you. There was a young lady who was living in Maryland, and she was looking for a church, and someone had told her about a church in Virginia. And one Sunday morning, she was driving across the Legion Bridge and heading for Tyson's Corner, and she looked and saw this half-mile-long line on the other side of the Beltway. So she said, wow, wonder where they're going. And so it must be church. So she went up to Tyson's Corner, turned around, came back, got in line. She had no idea what church she was going to. Followed the line into the parking lot, came to McLean, and never left. Praise the Lord. That's a true story. That's a true story. But you know, in all of this, I dare not skip over the birth of my daughter Jill with all of her major disabilities, which was in 1992. Because you see, God knew that he could never give this kind of success to a man as arrogant as I without crushing that man's fleshly pride. And with all of the pain and with all of the heartache of Jill's illness, that's precisely what God did. And he continues to do it to this very day in my life. But the funny thing is, the more God crushed me and my pride, the more God blessed McLean Bible Church. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. In the year 1998, God gave us the National Wildlife Federation property, the property that you here at Tyson's are now sitting on, 52 acres at Tyson's Corner, and we'll show you a picture of that. And then in the year 2000, after winning an impossible-looking 14-month zoning fight with Fairfax County and the neighbors, we opened the Smith Center here at Tyson's downstairs. But when we opened the Smith Center, we already had too many people attending to fit in it. And so some of you may remember that for 3.5 years, from January 2001 to June 2004, we did a Saturday night service, and then on Sunday morning, we did 3 services over at our old Balls Hill Road building. We did 3 services here at the Smith Center. We slotted them so that I would preach, run, jump in a car, drive to the other location, preach, hop in the car, come back to the first location, preach, hop in the car, go back to the second location and preach. Yeah, we did that for 3.5 years, and I never, ever, by God's grace, missed a sermon. Yeah. Now, I will say we had a couple of close calls. I will say there were times when one group somewhere was singing the 4th verse and the 5th verse and repeating the 1st verse of a hymn, but that's okay. I didn't miss it. Now, we had 2 Sunday evening services at that time as well. And then in 2004, we opened our large auditorium here at the Tyson's campus. We outgrew that by the grace of God almost immediately, and that led to establishing the 4 campuses that we have now: Arlington, Montgomery County, Prince William County, and Loudoun. A big shout out to all you guys watching on video to those at those places. Yeah, we love you. Then in 2010, God enabled us to build Jill's House, the most innovative respite ministry for children and families with disabilities in America. And finally, at least for this list, in 2016, by the grace of God, we paid off all the debt, $100 million, for all of this, and are debt-free as a church today. Praise the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, over the last 3.5 decades, has God not used this church? He's used us to touch hundreds of thousands of lives here in the Washington area and around the world. It has been an amazing 36 years. Now, I want to ask, if you have been here since 1980, when I came, if you've been here since then, I want you to stand up. Anybody here been there that long? There we go. Anybody else over here? There we go. All right, wait a minute. Y'all guys remain standing. Please don't sit down. Now, how many of you have been here since we were meeting at Langley High School up until 1992? Right, stand up if when you came, we were meeting at Langley High School. That's awesome. Y'all stay standing. How many of you came before 2004 when we were doing that nutty back and forth deal that we were doing? Stand up if you would. All right. Now, you guys remain standing for just a moment, if you would, please, because I want you newer members of our church family and you younger members of our church family to look around you, because these people that you see standing on the human level, these people are responsible for this church being where it is today. These are the people who've taught Sunday school. These are the people who've led small groups. These are the people who've served in Awana. These are the people who volunteered in Access Ministry. These are the people who wrote thousands of letters to the Board of Supervisors trying to get us approved here. These are the people who attended a supervisor meeting after supervisor meeting out in the government building. These are the people who faithfully came to 24-hour all-night prayer vigils that we had. These are the people who stood by me and Brenda as we went through a very difficult struggle with Fairfax County government and our neighbors to finally get Jill's house built. And these are the people who made pledges to 7 different pledge programs. That's it, friends. Count them. 7. And paid those pledges off so that we can pass this church on to the next generation debt free. I want you to thank these people. God bless you guys. All right. Thank you so much. Now, you know, over these 36 years as your pastor, I want you to know that there have been many days when McLean Bible Church was exposed to absolute and utter financial ruin, days when the spiritual battles that we were in were absolutely too mighty for us to win by ourselves, days when I was on my knees pleading for the very survival of our church, but I want you to know I never, ever despaired. No, no, no. I have a note in my Bible. It's been there for 30 years on a little piece of notepaper. I don't know who wrote this quote, who said this quote. So since it's been in my Bible for 30 years, I'm going to take credit for it. Is that all right? All right. I don't know where it came from. But here's what it says. It is impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent. And I want to tell you folks, in those years, regardless how against us the odds were, regardless how impossible looking the situations were, I prayed, I petitioned, I interceded, I supplicated, but I never despaired because I knew Jesus could save us. I knew Jesus would save us. And folks, here we sit, and Jesus did save us in every one of those situations. This is my testimony here today. This is the testimony of McLean Bible Church here today, and I want this to be your testimony. Friends, I don't care what problem you have. I don't care what mountain you face. I want you to always remember Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I want you to always remember that as an adopted child of God through Jesus Christ, your Father is omnipotent, and he will never, ever, ever fail you any more than he ever failed McLean Bible Church. Praise God for that. And when you're tempted to despair, when you're tempted to despair, and we all are, And you're tempted just to say, oh, and become like Chicken Little. Friends, listen to me. We need to take that quote out of our Bible. I hope you'll put it in your Bible. And we need to say, it is impossible for me to despair. When I remember my helper is omnipotent, so what I need to do right now, I need to remember my helper is omnipotent. That's what I need to do. And friends, I'll tell you, the power of remembering that will kill any despair in your life. So what do I want you to take home with you today? Here it is. It is impossible for that man or woman to despair who remembers that his or her helper is omnipotent. And if you need proof of that, you just look at what God's done here at McLean Bible Church over the last 3.5 decades. Now, let me get a praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want to go any farther in the message without us asking our most important question. So, it's time for that. You had 2 weeks off. Are you ready? All right, come on now. At all of our campuses, here we go now. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. And the so what is, for a moment, I would like to just share a little bit with you about what's been going on in my own life. And I want you to listen carefully to everything I have to say. And don't start making any kind of conclusions or judgments till you hear everything I got to say. Can I ask you to do that? Okay, please. Now, John Piper, Pastor John Piper, wrote this several years ago, and I quote, he wrote it to his church family. He said, I am less competent leading Bethlehem structurally and organizationally than I used to be. For about 30 years, I was usually able to see through the complexities and formulate feasible and exciting plans. This is no longer the case. Bethlehem is more complex than it used to be, and my energies and abilities for this kind of organizational planning are diminished, end of quote. And when I read this quote by Pastor Piper, I knew exactly what he was saying. What he was saying is, I'm tired. Now, brothers and sisters, for the last 36 and a half years, I have given every ounce of strength in my body to McLean Bible Church. And I don't regret one iota of it. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know I'm tired. But I want to clarify that. I'm not tired of living for the Lord. And I'm not tired of praying and reading the Word. And I'm not tired of sharing Christ with people whenever they'll let me everywhere I go. And I'm not tired of preaching the Bible, certainly not. I'm tired of trying to run the demanding operations of our large and complex church. And honestly, I'm no longer capable of doing it the way I used to be. And God showed me that if I was too proud to admit this, that I was going to end up hurting the very church family that I love so much. And so I went to the elders last year, and I told them what God was doing in my heart, and I told them that it was time for us to begin the process of searching for the next senior pastor of this church, a man God would use to take this church farther than he ever used me to do, and that I had been praying about that, and that I was coming to them saying, fellas, we need to formulate a plan. We need to do this. You know, I've been reading the life of W.A. Criswell. I don't know if you know that name, but W.A. Criswell was the pastor for many years of First Baptist Church of Dallas. And before him, you may not know this, was a gentleman named George W. Truett. Pastor Truett came to First Baptist in 1897 and was there 47 years until 1944. And when he went off the scene in 1944, the next pastor was W.A. Criswell. I had the wonderful privilege of knowing this man. I even had lunch with this man, one of the most wonderful men I've ever met in the service of God. And he served at First Baptist of Dallas for the next 50 years. You understand what that means? That means First Baptist Church of Dallas in almost 100 years only had two pastors. Now, this is my dream for McLean Bible Church, because this is what provides stability and long-term health for a church, is to have a long-term leader and a long-term leadership team. And this is my dream, that we'll be able to say in 100 years, we only had two pastors. And this is the man I've been praying for the last year, for the W.A. Criswell of McLean Bible Church. Now, let me be honest. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is. I don't know how to go about finding him. Right now, we have, listen carefully, no active candidates for the role of senior pastor of this church. Right now, we are in no discussions with anybody who even aspires to be the senior pastor of this church. But I believe that God will lead W.A. Criswell from McLean Bible Church to this church the same way he led me to this church. And I have been praying about it, and I need you to be praying about this man with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Now, you say, well, Lon, summarize for me. There's a lot flying at me right now. Okay, three cogent points I want you to remember. Number one, I want you to say it out loud with me, these four words. Lon is not retiring. Say it again. Lon is not retiring, nor am I resigning. No. That is not what I'm saying. I am still a member of our staff. I still get my paycheck from the church. Thank God I still get health benefits. And I'm still an active member of the board of elders of this church. Okay? Is all that clear? All right. Number two, I want to tell you that David Platt has committed for the rest of 2017 to share in the preaching duties with me here at McLean Bible Church. He spoke here 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And what that means is that David and I will be doing the bulk of the preaching. The weeks you don't see me, you'll see David. And the weeks you don't see David, you'll see me. Of course, we'll be assisted by Dale Sutherland, Mike Kelsey, and an occasional special speaker. But that's the preaching plan going forward. And number three, Pastor Dale Sutherland, in concert, of course, with me and the rest of our elders, will be with his team, Bill Steele, and his leadership team, will be leading the daily ministry of McLean Bible Church. Listen, as he has been doing for the last year. He's already been doing this. You say, well, Lon, if I understand what you're saying, it sounds to me like, except for the addition of David Platt, not that much is changing from the way we've been doing it for the last year. Folks, that's right. The only thing that's changing is now we can talk about it. And I know you, some of you have been confused, and I know some of us have been frustrated, and I know some of us have been, I don't know, I guess the right word is perhaps uncertain about what's going on here. Listen, we've been working on this plan for most of 2016, and we understood that there was causing some confusion in our church family. But friends, we couldn't come out publicly and talk about it because we were right in the middle of trying to work it out. And when you got a plan that's only half-baked, you don't go out and start talking about it publicly. So believe me, I want to apologize to all of you. Nobody wanted to talk to you more about this than me and the elders. I would hurt, physically hurt, when I knew how many people were wondering what in the world is going on, and I wasn't able to say anything about it. But it's done. It's sealed. It's all set. And we can talk about it now. And that's what we're doing. We want all the clarity and all the understanding that we can possibly get to be yours. Are you with me? And I apologize to you, man. We were just in a spot where, you know, we were caught in the middle. You've been in those spots at work. You've been in those spots in your family where you're dying to say something and you just can't, right? Well, three of you have. Okay, that's good. Listen, what we want to tell you is we're beginning the search for the next senior pastor of this church. And in the meantime, things are staying just the way I told you they're staying. We okay with that? Yeah, okay. And when we find the next senior pastor, I'm going to become senior pastor emeritus, and I'm not going anywhere. This is my church. This is my church. And so I'm still going to get to do some preaching even then. So listen, folks, I'm so excited about where we are. And if you don't, we're going to have a town meeting on Thursday night right here at Tyson's. We're going to broadcast it to all of our campuses because I'm sure we haven't answered all your questions. And you come. We start at 7:30. We'll be done at 9. You come and we'll answer all your questions that we possibly can. But at least we can start releasing information now and we can start helping everybody understand what's going on. Now, I think these are exciting days for McLean Bible Church. I hope you'll join me in the great expectation that I feel as I await to see what Jesus is going to do with our church. And next week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in part two. I don't have enough time to do it today. But I want you to come back and hear what I have to say. But I'm excited because I'm looking for W.A. Criswell. You know, Pastor Truett grew First Baptist of Dallas to 8,000 people. Criswell came behind him and grew that church to 28,000 people and made it the most significant work for God in the whole South. And you say, well, yeah, but let me ask you about that. So what if this next person comes along and God uses them to double the size of McLean and double the impact of McLean and triple the outreach of McLean? How are you going to feel about that? Are you going to be jealous, envious? Friends, let me tell you how I feel. I will be ecstatic. I'll be thrilled to death. Are you serious? It's like Paul said, I rejoice and I will rejoice, Philippians chapter 1, that Jesus is preached. Man, if God uses somebody to do that, the most excited person in this congregation will be me. Nobody will be cheering him on more than me. And nobody will be more excited to see what happens. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? All right. I'm not envious. I'm not jealous. I'm not threatened. I'm excited. You say, well, okay, so one more thing, Lon. You know, I live in Washington, son. And I understand about the party line. But I love you, man, and I want to know who really did this to you. Who really did this to you? Now, you're laughing because I know that's what you're thinking. Now, listen. Look here. Look right here. Look at me. Friends, the answer is God did this. I am obeying God in all of this. It's just that simple. Do you understand? And don't you dare let anybody else tell you different, because it just ain't so. I am as convinced that I am in the will of God now in what I'm doing as I was convinced 36 years ago I was in the will of God when I came to this church. Do we understand that? Please don't anybody try to carry water for me. Friends, there is no water to carry. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? All right. Good. Praise the Lord. Now, I had a friend yesterday who came up to me and said, hey, Lon, if you're happy, I'm happy. You know what? I'm not just happy. I'm thrilled. You know why? Because I get to keep preaching the word of God here. Because I get to keep teaching the word of God here. Because I get to keep being involved in one of the greatest works for God I've ever had the privilege to know about. And yet I don't have to deal with the exhaustion factor of trying to run the everyday ministry of the church here. I'm thrilled. You hear me? I'm thrilled. So, let me just say to all of you who love me, and I appreciate it, please, friends, Let me obey God with joy. Can you do that? Can you let me obey God with joy? The joy of seeing this church stay strong. The joy of seeing this church stay together. The joy of seeing this church family stay united. The joy of working together with you to see the next leader take this church beyond anything we've seen so far. Let me obey God with joy, please. I beg you. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So, to quote one of my favorite movies, are we clear? Are we crystal clear? Yeah? Okay. Now, in closing, just let me say, you know that times like this are times where the enemy is just waiting to cause trouble. We know that, right? We know that any time a church goes through change, any kind of change, the enemy is always there with misinformation, disinformation, lies, rumors, causing division, causing strife, causing dissension. This is the enemy. And friends, I know that that's what he would love to do to our church. Do you understand? He hates this church. Do you understand that? He hates this church with a diabolic passion. He hates this church. And he will do anything just out of meanness and spite and rage to cause trouble in this church. Well, I want to tell you that I, before God, have committed myself that he is not going to do that here on my watch. Mm-mm. And he's not going to do that here on our elders' watch. Mm-mm. We're not allowing that to happen. We're praying for discernment and wisdom that God will help us to see where he's coming, see where he's trying to set up strongholds, see where he's trying to set up high places, and we're going to get there first and rip them down. And that's our job over these next months and years, is to make sure Satan gets no foothold in this church. And we are serious about it. So you pray for us and you pray with us. Prayer is our greatest weapon against him. And that's why it's perfect that we're starting our 40 days of prayer right now, and we can pray for our church. Have I made myself understandable? Yes. Okay. And please, don't you be involved in any of that stuff. You hear somebody spreading rumors, just say, stop. Didn't you hear what Lon said? Lon's never lied to us, and he's not about to start now. Didn't you hear what he said? And if somebody says, you know, I'm so sad, say, about what? I'm sad, I don't know, I'm just sad. Well, about what? What are you sad about? Lon's not leaving. Lon's still preaching. You know, Platt's helping him, which is great. You know, God's got a W.A. Criswell out there for us. What are you sad about? No reason to be sad. We should be expectant and excited as a church family. Amen? Amen. All right. There you go. End of message. End of message. All right, I want to invite our elders out on stage right now, along with our campus pastors. We're going to inaugurate our 40 days of prayer by having all of us come and get on our knees. And our chairman of our elders, Larry Cooper, is going to lead us in prayer. And then we're going to close with a closing hymn. And if you want to get on your knees with us as we pray, we would welcome you to do that. Larry, this is Larry. Welcome, Larry. I think everybody knows Larry. And so we're going to our knees. You can go to your knees, and we're going to pray. Let's do that, gentlemen.
And let me just say that this is how we start every elders' meeting, on our knees in prayer before our great God. So thank you for joining with us. Let's pray together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, your very name is holy. You're such an awesome, wonderful God. We just can't have enough words to even express all the characteristics of God. And Lord, it's just so wonderful that we can trust you and we can rely on you, and we can even ask you to help us as we go into a time of prayer, 40 days of prayer, as we joyously and excitedly look forward to what you have next for McLean Bible Church. And Father, looking back, it's just one miracle after another. And looking forward, we know it's going to be even better. So, Father, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, I'm reminded of the instruction that you gave the children of Israel many times during their journey. They were to be separate. They were to be called out. They were to be different from those around them. They were to be holy. And why? Because you, God Almighty, are holy. And so we pray that for ourselves, Lord, that through the power of the Spirit that dwells within us, you'd help us to be holy before you. And the claiming the blood of Christ to cover our sins and our iniquities, Lord, because we're far from perfect, we just offer that to you. And Lord, as we look forward to what you have coming up, I think of the promise in Jeremiah 29. I know the promise I have for you, you said. What a wonderful thing to rely on. I claim that promise, Lord, for our church. And you said you had a plan for good, and that if we would pray and seek your face, you would be found, and you would hear those prayers. So, Lord, as we go forward into 40 days of prayer, I just ask that each one of us would be extra dedicated to being in the Word and being in prayer. We need it all the time, but during this next 40 days, we just pray for a special anointing of the Spirit on us and on our church through the power of prayer and through the power of the very Spirit of God that dwells within us. So, Lord, it's your kingdom. We're just the foot soldiers. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of it. We just pray that your kingdom would prevail, that we would be honoring, everything we do would honor your kingdom, and Lord, that all the glory would come to you, because that's our ultimate desire. We pray these things in the name of our powerful Savior and our wonderful Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.